Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details.
Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
You're scrolling Facebook late at night. A post pops up from a mother you know, a woman who spent years caring for her severely ill daughter. It reads, "That bitch is dead." It's jarring, it's aggressive, and chilling. That single post would lead police to a gruesome murder, uncover years of medical deception, and reveal one of the most twisted cases of abuse and betrayal ever documented. Welcome back to Macabre Mondays, where mystery meets the macabre with your favorite deadly married duo. I'm Ale.
And I'm Tom.
Your guides through the strange, the sinister, and the spooky, where I tell the stories and he gets dragged along for the ride.
Whoop whoop.
Woo, happy Ogtober, everyone.
Happy almost October.
That's right. That's why we say Ogtober for life. It sounds a little
hey,
silly.
It's been
when
code
you say
orange
it.
At almost all the stores recently.
I know. Everybody, run. Do not walk. Run to Hobby Lobby, Marshalls, Home It Good, and
Home It Good?
Sorry, we've been hanging out with my mom, and I always like to make fun of her. But I wanted to, before we start today's episode, I just want to give a big, big shout out to you guys, to those that have been tuning in every week and expressing to us how much they love the podcast. We've been getting so many messages. We are so appreciative. The only reason why I want to shout you guys out today, I mean, I want to shout you guys out every episode, but the reason why I'm shouting you guys out is because this is our 31st episode.
Damn.
31.
Halloween.
I know. I thought that was so fitting. So I'm like, let me shout them out again real quick. I know we did it in episode 25. But I'm going to do it again because I'll do whatever
also,
I want.
Oh, just want to give everyone a heads up. If Ale seems a little off today, she's a little under the weather.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But she's pushing through today.
I'm sicky. I'm sick. If anybody understands that Mean Girls reference, let me know. Anyways, yes, I am a little bit sick today. Do I sound sick?
A little bit.
A little bit, yeah. I'm trying to drink some tea and keep my vocal cords.
Yeah.
What is it?
No, I was going to say.
Liquid?
You liquiding it up?
I'm liquiding in the vocal cords, yeah. Why can I? What's that word?
I don't know.
This is not a good state of mind to be in before recording an episode.
Basically, translation to... You sound a little sick. You sound like shit.
Oh, thanks. You're so sweet. Thank you. Thank you. No, but thank you guys so much. We're episode 31, like October 31st. This is so, so exciting. I can't even believe that so many people are tuning in, and we really appreciate each and one of you.
Can you believe you've been doing this long?
No, I was... I mean, I told myself the minute I started the podcast, I was going to go straight forward. I'm like, the minute I start something, I want to finish it, see it through.
Again, I know it's an us thing and a we thing,
yeah.
But at the same time, you wanted to start this. And
oh, thanks.
Look at how far you've come already.
Oh, I appreciate it, guys. Appreciate it, babes. Love ya. Love ya. Yeah.
I love you.
31 episodes and people are tuning in to listen to us. How cool. You guys rock.
Shout out all the countries that we got listeners in.
Yes. No, seriously.
We're not just in the U.S. We're international, baby.
Woo woo. Mr. Worldwide.
All right, Pitbull.
All right. Let's get to it. Today episode, Tom, I'm taking you to Missouri. We haven't been there yet, both in podcast terms and real world terms.
I've been there.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Sorry. I say we as in a
You've
a
traveled international more than me, but I have hit multiple of the states.
You've done nationally. I've done internationally.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Today we're going to Missouri. Okay. Now, this was actually an episode that we got requested by many, which I'm now opening up requests or whatever you would call that. Why are you laughing? Yeah, you're swallowing like an asshole.
I took a drink and then I realized I came on mute right as I was swallowing and all I heard was the little gulp.
Yeah, you should see my eardrums.
I don't think that's
it. Wasn't easy for me either.
Okay.
Thank you. Ew. I do that sometimes. Sorry. No, but we actually were requested this episode. Well, this topic for a while now. I am open to requests. So people, please send them in.
Stop stealing my freaking lines.
You talk about the scary stories.
Oh, you're right.
I'm mentioning requests for topics that they want.
Yeah, but they can also use the same link to send those.
Yes, both of them. Yes. Just send me a request if you want to listen to an episode. My goodness. I have to mention that. I never normally do that.
You're right.
You guys are listening to a real life married couple going back and forth.
Send them to macabremondays@podcast@gmail.com or visit us at macabremondays.com to submit your story. Yours just might be featured on an upcoming listener's episode.
All right. Have you ever heard of the name Gypsy Rose Blanchard?
Oh, yes, I have.
Yes, you have, because I know I've definitely touched upon and even talked
about.
Wow. Yeah, I have said a lot. No, but did you listen to me when I said it? Sometimes you zone me out. I know it.
Okay. I listen to you. Yes.
No, you do.
She did a lot of stuff. She had a boyfriend at one point, too.
Oh, okay.
Afterwards.
Okay.
After all the crazy.
Do you remember much?
I remember the whole story.
Oh, the whole story? No way. But I feel like it's 100%. Definitely not the full story. I think it's probably the premise of it.
I don't think
I ever went on a deep dive with you about this one.
Not a deep dive, but I remember watching multiple documentaries with you about this.
No, I was watching them. You were not with me unless you pulled one of those. I'm not interested in that.
It was that a lot of.
Oh, I bet.
Yes.
I bet. Because this was a very interesting story.
All right, let's dive in.
Are you ready? I'm going to take you back to the beginning, okay? Because there's a lot that you don't know, even though you say you do. But I don't know. I could be wrong. Actually, I could be wrong.
Her mom.
All right, ready? Claudine Blanchard, better known as Dee Dee, was born in Louisiana in 1967. She was the kind of person who made herself the center of any type of room, really. She was very charismatic, very talkative. She was also very hard to pin down. There are plenty of stories from her younger years where she got into some trouble with petty theft or trouble with the neighbors, or there was also an accusation of her defrauding a check, like check fraud of some sort. So
it happens.
It happens. Yeah. But none of it ever really seemed to stick, or there was no charges ever pressed against her. So it's a lot of speculation there. Right. But every time that she found herself in a situation where she was in trouble, she kind of always had a new version of the story to spin. She's really good at talking, I guess. When Dee Dee was 24, she met Rod Blanchard. He was 17 at the time. He was super sweet, very soft-spoken, and Dee Dee made him feel super important, like he had a place in the world with her. They started a relationship, and she ended up getting pregnant, and they decided, all right, we're pregnant, so we should get married. That was a typical thought process back in the day. Yes. So they ended up getting married. But Rod says that he kind of knew almost instantly that it was a mistake. And so he actually.
Damn.
Yeah, I know. It's rough. It's rough. Because he ended up divorcing Dee Dee before Gypsy was born.
Okay.
But he was still planning on staying in her life. Like, he still wanted to be a part of Gypsy's life and help with whatever he can. He had stated.
I vaguely remember this part.
Okay. Well, he had stated that he just knew that it wasn't going to go anywhere.
They were better separate. Yeah.
Better separated. Now, on July 27th of 1991, they had their baby girl in Louisiana, and Dee Dee named her Gypsy Rose because she liked the name Gypsy and she loved the band Guns N' Roses. So Gypsy Rose, that's how you get them. Rod stayed in the picture, at least financially, because he was paying child support. He was sending her gifts. He would try to make calls. He would try to go and see her, but whenever Dee Dee, he would talk to Dee Dee about it. He would talk to Dee Dee about it. She never made it easy. She'd move, she'd disappear, or she would tell Rod that Gypsy was too sick to visit, that she wasn't up for it, she didn't feel good, and that she needed the rest, or she couldn't talk right now. So as Gypsy got older, Rod started to see less and less of her. But whenever he did get a chance to see her, he noticed how much she looked like him. You know, she has these big brown eyes and she has his smile. Now, still, Dee Dee always was quick to remind him. She's not like other kids. She has so many health problems. Be grateful that she's even here. By the time Gypsy was just a toddler, Dee Dee had already started saying something was wrong. Okay. So first she was stating that she had sleep apnea, then chromosomal issues, and then she was having muscular dystrophy. So all very painful and
lots of diseases.
Yes. Now doctors did run tests, but a lot of them kind of came back unclear. Others didn't really match the symptoms that Dee Dee was stating was happening with Gypsy. But Dee Dee was very persistent. She always had an answer to something. Okay. So she always had a reason to seek more care or more specialists or more prescriptions because as a mother, she thought something was wrong with her.
Which is still crazy to me that she kept getting her diagnosed with this or that.
You'll see, because there's a lot more to it.
Yeah.
I've had the same questions, and what you're thinking right now, it's like, what? That's, you know, what's going on? But when Gypsy was around 7 or 8, Dee Dee actually started using a wheelchair for her. Mm-hmm. She said Gypsy couldn't walk well, that her muscles were deteriorating, and that she'd fall if she tried to even walk or stand up, and that she's only going to get worse without treatment.
And did doctors prescribe the wheelchair, or wasn't her mom just straight up said, oh no, she needs this?
Oh, there's a lot you don't know about this story then. I love it. I love it. I have an evil grin right now. I kind of feel a little grinchy. That's a good question, baby. That's a very good question. Remember those.
Okay.
No one argued with her that she said this is what she needed, because why would they? Dee Dee was as attentive.
Mom knows best.
Mom knows best, right? She's never left Gypsy's side. She pretty much spoke for her. She cared for her. She filled out all her paperwork. If you think about it already, it's a heartbreaking story.
Yeah.
I mean, it tugs at your heartstrings because a single mother now, she's got her daughter who's sick. There's a lot going on, and it's a lot. And clearly from the outside, Gypsy looked like any other medically fragile child if you would do comparisons, right? Now, she was very tiny for her age. She was always bundled up in blankets. She had these big glasses. She never really had hair. It was like always shaved off. Her voice is this notorious signature voice of hers. Damn, what am I, snake? You saw that? Signature. Yes. No, her signature voice, because a lot of people find it very annoying. It's very high.
Yeah.
It's very childlike, very gentle, I guess, like, is the word soft? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe not. Well, yeah, gentle because it's soft. Yeah, same thing. But she was always very polite. She was always smiling. She was always very quiet. And most importantly, she was always saying thank you. She was very gracious, right? By the time that Gypsy was around 10, her medical chart included leukemia, muscle dystrophy, seizures, asthma, vision and hearing impairments. A feeding tube had to be placed in her because Dee Dee said that she couldn't chew or swallow.
And Jesus Christ.
Yep. And a mental disability that kept her, according to Dee Dee, developmentally frozen at age 7.
What the fuck?
Yeah. She was supposedly homeschooled, or so Dee Dee claimed, and she didn't play with other kids. She didn't go anywhere without her mom. It was always Dee Dee and Gypsy. And over time, even the people around her stopped kind of questioning anything, because it just didn't seem like there was anything left for them to ask. They're struggling, yeah. They're suffering. What am I going to do? Just add to
keep
the agony.
Keep asking questions?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, Rod, Gypsy's dad, says looking back now that he noticed that there were some red flags, but at the time, like most people, you don't really notice them at the time. You also wouldn't see.
You wouldn't think to question something like
exactly,
that.
Exactly. And he believed anything that Dee Dee told him. Everyone pretty much did. And he would still be sending child support. He would mail her gifts still. When he would ask to visit, Dee Dee told him that travel would be too hard on Gypsy, that her immune system couldn't handle it, that it just wasn't safe. And he has stated that he felt guilty that he didn't go see her, but he trusted what Dee Dee said. And, you know, I remember, because there's a couple of documentaries and shows that have reenacted all this. I think even Lifetime made a movie out of it as well. But in one of the documentaries I saw, I think he had, I forgot what type of job he had, but he had a job that required him to be on the road. So it was hard, or maybe the distance, like it was hard for him to also see her. But then he was like, you know, I'm just do my part, send money. And he talks about how terrible he felt.
Okay.
By 2005, now Gypsy was around 14 years old and Hurricane Katrina had just torn through their home in Louisiana. Do you remember that?
I will be honest. I don't remember them living in Louisiana.
Okay.
I only remember the Missouri stuff.
Yeah, because, right. That's good, baby. You're doing good.
There's your little grin.
My little evil grin. He's a mean one. I mean, she's a mean one. Mr. Grinch. So Didi packed up what little they had even left in Louisiana and moved them both to Springfield, Missouri for a fresh start. Here's where the story takes place.
Let's get into it.
Well, not where it takes
even more.
It takes place, yeah, but it moves towards that. Now, they arrived with medical records, a heartbreaking story, and a new community that was ready to help. This is kind of pretty much where the public story really begins, and it takes off from there. This is where that whole mother and daughter against the world narrative really starts
coming into play.
It starts spinning. And this is where the illusion became almost kind of impossible to... This case in itself, the story is just insane. So to me, anytime I talk about it or I hear about it, it's always very interesting, but it's also just insane. And I can't... All right. Let me get to it. When Dee Dee and Gypsy arrived in Springfield, Missouri, they didn't just settle in quietly. They actually made an impression, right? Dee Dee was telling people that they'd lost everything in Hurricane Katrina, that they were starting over. And that Gypsy, her little girl...
I'm sorry.
What? Sorry. That was like a tick. That was crazy.
Katrina.
I had the thought in my head and it was like, just do it. And I was like, you know, I'm going to just keep talking because I'm going to...
You just kept on going.
Yeah, I'm
going to
act like nothing happened.
You just kept going like it wasn't even a thing. You just said, Katrina.
Are
you in a cave?
I don't know what is going on. Oh, that was crazy. I'm sick. It's probably the medicine. Oh my goodness. Well, anyways, she ends up telling them that Hurricane Katrina took pretty much everything that they've had and that they had to start over. And that Gypsy had beaten all the odds more times than she could even count. So at this point, you got to think about it. Also think about so many other victims in Hurricane Katrina as well that lost their lives, lost their homes, lost everything.
It was such a bad hurricane.
Yeah, it was terrible. So I'm just trying to put myself and people in Missouri, you wouldn't think anything bad, right?
No.
I mean, hurricane.
You would think somebody's literally just trying to...
And she's already got, on top of her daughter having all these illnesses, it looks like she's terminally ill. And then you're divorced now, and then your house just gets taken away from a hurricane and most of your belongings. Wow. What else could there be?
I mean, you literally have a daughter that seems like she can't catch a break.
Right, exactly. So that's why, yeah, of course. And that in itself is why the community that they end up meeting rallies for them. Like, they go hard. The Habitat of Humanity built them a small, brand new home in this very cute cul-de-sac. So adorable. I love a good cul-de-sac. It was even painted this cotton candy pink or bubblegum, I think I saw somewhere or whatnot. But it honestly looks straight out of a storybook. You can see the photo there with everybody. Yeah.
With the wheelchair ramp even.
Yes, because they added a wheelchair ramp to the front porch. And they also installed a hot tub for physical therapy for her.
Wow.
That's insane. Yeah, they all went all out. And inside the house, like, every detail was tailored to Gypsy's comfort. Donations were, I mean, they were getting donations left and right from charities, from friends, from church groups. People would bring them groceries, would bring them medical supplies, clothing. I mean, they were really trying to help Dee Dee and Gypsy because they're like, they're going through it, right? And if you think about it, even if everyone else is also going through something, they look like they're going through the worst of the worst.
Yeah, so you want to help.
You want to help, exactly. And when the town saw that, they really started to kind of wanting to be more a part of it. You know, how can we help them? How can we help Gypsy have a normal life as best as she can? How can we help Dee Dee, blah, blah, all this stuff, right? And if you think about it, Gypsy is this picture of innocence, right? If you see her in the photos, she's always in a wheelchair. She's always smiling. She has that soft voice, very childlike, and she's always very grateful. So she kind of is the poster child for
beating all odds.
Yeah.
And just hope, being happy with life.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Yeah. Hope, strength, all that. Exactly. And so she, one of the things about her is that she loved Disney princesses. Like, she just loved the fairy tales.
Yeah.
Remember that? Yes. And she would constantly wear princess costumes. She would wear wigs with like sparkly headbands and hats that kind of look like animals or some sort. She also would wear kind of slippers everywhere she went. She looks like a girl, like a little girl. Yeah. They would also go to a lot of charity events. And there's this one famous one where she goes up on the stage and she waves to the crowd and says, "Thank you for helping me." And everybody's like, "Oh, like, oh, that's so sweet." Yeah, because my God,
pulling at your heartstrings.
Yeah. And also that's my God. Yes, exactly. Although they're all there to help both of them, Dee Dee, no joke, always sat behind her, either next to her, behind her. It don't matter. Dee Dee was always wherever the hell Gypsy was.
She was always visible.
Dee Dee would never be too far away from Gypsy. Never let go of her. Either her hand was on her shoulder or she would hold her hand exactly or put her hand on her lap. It didn't fucking matter. She was attached to her. Now, the stories after this just kind of kept coming. She's got leukemia. She's got muscular dystrophy. She's got seizures, asthma. She's got vision and hearing problems. She's got the feeding tube. She's got the sleep apnea. She's got developmental delays. I mean, the list goes on and on.
It's one thing after another.
After another. It was as if, like, no part of Gypsy was...
okay.
Okay. Now, yet despite all that, despite everything she's going through, Gypsy's still fighting, right? She's still alive. And Dee Dee kept showing up day after day, which honestly just kind of feeds more into that image. Now, together, they end up becoming the poster children for inspiration at this point. News crews were covering them. Churches were holding prayer circles for them. Local papers would run features with headlines like "A Mother's Love" and "Fighting Together." And the donations were not stopping. Like, people were just donating out of the kind of the kindness of their heart. They were even flown out by Make-A-Wish Foundation to Disney World.
Damn.
I know. They were given free tickets to concerts, to shows, to galas, to events. They've done like a helicopter ride. They've done this.
I mean, I was going to say, but at this point, you look at it as how we know more, but you look at everything and you think.
Yes.
Look at everything she's going through. Yes. Is she even going to survive to see 20? Is she going to see
this age?
Because when a child's that sick constantly.
Yeah. Yeah.
All that's going to go through your mind is how much longer are they going to be able to fight all this?
And you want to make sure that they're living the best they can until they're just not here anymore, because you want to give them the world.
Yeah.
So exactly. No, I agree. And that's the thing, that they even got to celebrities, because the country singer Miranda Lambert even sent them a check after meeting Gypsy backstage at a concert.
Damn.
I know. And so she sent a personal check to donate because she was so touched by Gypsy's story and Gypsy herself. So it's wow. Just right. And to see like the kindness of people's heart, especially for all that. Now, strangers were even mailing them like blankets, cards, knitting them hats. It was they honestly were admiring them. They really were. And if anyone ever had questions, they didn't ask them nothing.
Yeah, because
why would you? Yeah, you wouldn't think anything would go wrong. So if someone had noticed that maybe Gypsy just seemed a little bit older than she was described as, or she wasn't always as frail as she looked in photos, or she didn't always look as sick as you would think that she would look with everything, no one's going to say anything, because no one wants to be the person that questions like a terminally ill child.
Oh, are you having a good day today? Because it seems like it.
You're like, "Hey, I noticed your leg twitched. That's interesting." No, imagine. She's like, "I'm just itchy." No, but seriously, right? Now, Dee Dee knew what she was doing. To answer your earlier question, you're like, why is she just saying all this?
Mm-hmm.
What was your question again?
How is she...
She's just saying all this.
Isn't it wild the fact that she, and how was she just getting doctors by saying, "Oh yeah, she needs a wheelchair. Oh, she needs this. Oh,
right.
She has this."
I'm going to answer that question right now, because before Gypsy was born, she actually worked as a nurse's aide back in Louisiana. She wasn't a registered nurse at all, but she'd spent enough time in hospitals and home health settings to pick up the language, the routines, and the red tape.
Mm-hmm.
She knew exactly how to talk to doctors. She knew what symptoms sounded serious and which ones could be faked. And she could even describe rare conditions in medical terms, list medications by brand name, and fill out forms like an absolute pro.
Damn.
Yeah. So if a doctor kind of hesitated or couldn't verify a specific detail when she would bring her in, she'd pivot. She'd either mention that she'd seen a specialist out of state or that they'd moved a lot, or her favorite excuse of all freaking time is that Gypsy's records had been lost during Hurricane Katrina. You can't question much of that, right?
No.
Because
it makes sense. And especially back at that, and especially back in that time.
Mm-hmm.
The early 2000s.
Right.
The minute that hurricane hit, everyone just had hard drives. You didn't have the cloud
paper
or anything. Yeah. Yeah.
So true. And it's like, you do know that Hurricane Katrina did happen and they are from Louisiana. So it's kind of hard to question. It's kind of crazy. I think it's kind of crazy that.
You know how many floppy disks with people's personal information are probably out at sea?
Oh, no, for real. No, seriously, the aliens in the ocean probably already got everybody's social security.
The younger generation's probably thinking, what the hell's a floppy disk?
Oh, my God. Yeah, don't do that. That's crazy. Wow. But really? Now, Katrina clearly took everything from them. She would tell them, you know, their home, their belongings, and Gypsy's paperwork, and Gypsy's sick, and this and that. And now she'd shake her head and say, it's all gone, the flood took it. And just like that, no one would push any further because she always seemed to have an answer. And it just, she was a good actress, clearly. Behind closed doors, though, their life was quiet. It was isolated. It was very routine, right? Gypsy's got to go to doctor's appointments. She's got to get her medications. She's got to, we can have TV nights, movie nights. We can do charity emails or events. They go to trips to pharmacies. And it was just them too. Now, one of the things that got to me too is if they're living here and they're in a cul-de-sac, they have to have neighbors, right?
Well, you would think.
No, but they did. But that's I mean. That's where I'm like, no one can ever talk to her without. But I mean, I get it. Yeah. I get it. Because it's also, if I was in that situation, I mean, I wouldn't think anything weird because I'm like, that's just her mother, a mother and her daughter who's terminally ill. So I get that. But she just would rarely let them talk to Gypsy for more than a few minutes. Like she said, it was because Gypsy gets tired really easily or that she couldn't handle too much noise or that her immune system was fragile. And so people would just go drop off groceries or they would just leave cards in the mailbox for them. They would even slip envelopes under the mat and no one really would talk to Gypsy that much. Unless,
which again, makes she was around. Sense because of everything she's going through. You're not going to question that.
You're not going to question that. Exactly. And if you think about it, inside that pink little house, it's just the two of them. Yeah. What? This doting mother and a daughter who's just actively dying. But even the most seemingly perfect stories aren't always perfect.
And sometimes. Mm-hmm. They take a dark, dark turn.
Only obvious if we're covering it on Macabre Mondays.
Hmm? The life of the macabre.
It sure is, my macabsters. Yes, it sure. Oh,
ooh,
did I just come up with a cute new name?
I think you did, macabsters.
Macabsters.
It's like mobsters, but better.
Right, because we're so badass.
Exactly.
So badass. Mm-hmm. I sang that all myself.
Okay.
I sang that all myself. Now, at first, we start noticing a couple cracks in a lot of the stories. Just a common here.
Do tell.
Yep, just a curious glance there. Little moments where that pink painted world that Dee Dee had built didn't really quite hold up to
the structural foundation she had built.
Mm-hmm, exactly. One of the first people to speak up was actually Dr. Bernardo Blasterstein, a pediatric neurologist in Missouri. He actually met Gypsy when Dee Dee brought her in for a muscular dystrophy evaluation. By then, Gypsy had already been diagnosed with it, or so Dee Dee claimed, and she'd been using a wheelchair for years at this point. Dr. Blasterstein noticed something odd. Gypsy had normal muscle tone. Interesting. Mm. She's been in a wheelchair for years. No signs of muscular dystrophy at all. In fact, her strength seemed very appropriate for her age. She also didn't seem to be she just didn't seem to be developmentally delayed like Dee Dee insisted, saying that her mental capacity was age 7.
It was like somebody's lying.
Sounds like something's fishy.
Something's fishy here.
Something's very fishy. So, of course, he grew suspicious because what? Girl, huh? And he actually noted in his report that he suspected Munchausen syndrome by proxy.
What's that?
Oh, you know what? Okay. Well, that's actually a mental health condition where a caretaker... What? It's
a caretaver.
Caretaver. It's pretty much when a caretaker ends up lying and fabricates illnesses in someone else just so that they can gain attention and sympathy.
Oh.
And that's pretty much what she kind of was doing, which is insane. Because he even ends up sending a letter to Gypsy's primary care physician, but nothing happened. No one investigated it.
Of course not.
Did a home visit. No one followed up. No.
Why would we?
Right. Why would you? And especially that's another thing too that I saw in the documentary was that they were talking about how if not a lot of doctors said anything, even if it did look sus, was because she had a chart with a bunch of other doctors stating it was right.
Yeah, so I mean, you got one doctor. How many others that she's seen that questions
right.
it? Yeah,
right.
I see how they can pass, but at the same time,
I agree.
I would have at least glanced.
I agree. No, I completely agree with you on that because that's what sucks. One of the doctors actually ends up saying, "Yeah, there's something wrong here. This is not right," and nothing comes of it until it's too late, which is the worst freaking part. Which really sucks about children's cases as well that I've noticed. Have you ever seen the trial of Gabriel Hernandez?
Mm-mm.
Oh God. If you ever, I know you'll probably only watch it if I watch it with you, but it is so brutal. If anybody watches it, trigger warning, that docuseries has got child abuse. It's got everything under the sun that you can think of. It's a horrible, horrible case. This mother pretty much tortures her little like 5-year-old. Heavy.
That's rough.
And every time that people, like teachers and others, would report that something was going on there, it just kept getting brushed under the rug and they kept leaving him with her. Yes, it was horrible because it actually went to trial.
Well, let's dive into that.
Yeah, we'll try it another day. But anyways, that's a really good one. So that is why this reminded me of this, because of the fact that so many children's cases just kind of get brushed under the rug until it's too freaking late.
Yeah.
I have so many I can count.
Because it's a kid.
It's a kid. And they're like, oh, well, they're better off at home. I don't know. There's a lot of like politics in between that and things that I just don't understand, but that's just, yes. Now by this point, Dee Dee becomes pretty much an expert at dodging anytime she gets mm-hmm. questioned
like
about anything. Yes. A red flag. She actually would doctor hop and bounce from different specialists to another, often in different cities or even states. So no physician had the full picture of what was going on with Dee Dee.
So by the time Gypsy, they even could try to start putting a puzzle together, she's gone.
I mean, she's only here for one visit, so why would I even... I would only see a pattern if she came regularly. She'd carry binders of medical records and prescription notes. Some were accurate, some were not. Just enough to create confusion, because if a doctor asked too many questions, she would simply just... She just wouldn't go back to the doctor's office anymore. She's like, all right, well, I'm just gonna go.
You're lost.
I'm gonna go to Toledo next. Like, she don't care. I don't know if Toledo's there, but
Toledo's in Ohio. She jumping two states away. Three states.
It's
away?
Hard. Whatever, it's hard for know. Me. It's hard. It's hard sometimes. But if anybody really pushed or questioned her heavy, she'd cry or she'd get defensive or she'd say, you know, you guys don't understand what it's like to care for a child like Gypsy, and so tug at the heartstrings.
Yep. Same thing.
Same thing. But if you think about it, Gypsy is only going to keep getting older, because in reality, she's not really, because even though Dee Dee insists that she was still a child at this point, she's telling people that she's maybe 11 or 12. Gypsy was actually in her late teens by now, because she was also lying about her age. So she told Gypsy that she was younger than she really was because she wants to keep her young, which is exactly what.
It truly makes me think of the movie. There was a movie that came out maybe in the last year, 2 years. And it was the girl. I want to say they got the idea from the Gypsy Rose story,
mm-hmm.
because the girl was getting fed pills and the pills.
Oh, you're talking about Run on Hulu?
Yes.
I remember we watched it. Yes.
So good.
That was such insane. A good movie. Mm-hmm. She also had Munchausen syndrome by proxy because that's what she wanted. She wanted to keep her daughter sick in a wheelchair.
And paralyzed.
And
yeah.
Paralyzed. Yeah. She. Oh, God, that was such a good movie. Go watch it. It's on Hulu. It's so good. Cass is also really
You'll see
good.
The connection between this and
yeah,
this.
Yeah, no, that's definitely.
This and this. This and that.
Yes. Now, that's the other thing, right? So she's kind of like lying about her age, or she keeps fibbing. I remember in the documentaries, it was like she would ask for her age one time and then yeah. way later she would ask for her age again, or yeah. she'd find out randomly like out in public because Dee Dee's talking to somebody else and she would say a different age and she's like, what?
Yeah,
like,
it what never age made am I? Sense too. Mm-hmm.
It never made sense. And clearly that's exactly what ended up happening because Gypsy knew something was off because she knew actually that she could walk, that she could eat solid food, that she didn't have cancer, and that she didn't need most of the medications her mother gave her. At this point, she knew all that. How does she know all that? We're going to get into how.
She's smart.
One night during a charity event, it's been reported that a neighbor spotted Gypsy standing upright, walking around the backstage before quickly returning to her wheelchair when Dee Dee appeared. But nothing came of that. Now, another time, Gypsy asked someone at the hospital how old she was. She was even supposed to be, actually, because she genuinely didn't know because she'd been told so many different so many different things over the years. And sometimes when Dee Dee wasn't around, Gypsy would sneak into the kitchen at night and eat foods that she wasn't supposed to test.
Same.
Yeah, I would probably do the same thing. Exactly. I mean, she's told she's not allowed. She can't chew or swallow. So she's curious. So when she did do that, she started realizing this doesn't make me sick.
Fine. Yeah,
I'm fine.
Weird.
Like I can chew and swallow. I don't know why she keeps saying that. Imagine, just imagine that. Oh man, that must be, that's psychic.
Imagine. Just imagine that.
So here's the thing though, right? Because even as Gypsy started to recognize the truth about her health and that her something's up, right? She still didn't feel free whatsoever. She felt very trapped, which valid, okay? Because her mother had complete control over everything. Her schedule, her medications, her medical visits, her internet access, because she wasn't allowed to access the internet without her mom. Or her phone, or her birthday, or even her name on some legal documents, because she's having an identity crisis at this point. Dee Dee was telling people that she had the mind of a 7-year-old, that she couldn't read or write, and that she couldn't understand anything beyond cartoons and coloring books. But behind closed doors at nighttime, when her mother would go to sleep, because she would take sleeping pills, so she'd be out like a rock. That at night she would actually stay up and read Harry Potter, or she kept notebooks filled with stories and drawings, and
she'd act how she'd want to act.
She'd want to act, yeah. She's got to be
because
a sneaky
she knows she's,
kid.
Yeah.
She's got to be a sneaky kid right now. Now she even created a Facebook profile to message friends online.
Mm-hmm.
The only Facebook account that technically Dee Dee knew about was the one that she had with Gypsy. So she shared
an account with her.
Obviously she doesn't know half the stuff that she's doing out here, but she actually started chatting with men in private groups, especially fantasy and cosplay forums, where she would pretend to be someone else. These type of forums, she would just pretend to be someone free, you know. I mean, not that that's what was her go-to, but it's the intention that she set behind. You know, she wants someone that she can have choices. She can do what she wants.
Yeah.
And she's in love with the fairy tale world because that's all she grew up with. All she ever thinks about is at this time or whatnot was, oh, life is just a fairy tale. And because that's all her mom would let her watch.
I mean, in all honesty, she's basically Tangled. What's her face from Tangled?
Aurora? Is that her name?
I don't know.
No, is that Rapunzel?
Rapunzel. Yeah. Rapunzel's Tangled, yes.
So that's
because she lets down her hair.
Yes. So exactly pretty much kind of that, just a Disney-fied version.
She thinks that she's sick. Rapunzel's...
You know, now that you say that, I think she has stated that that's one of her favorite movies.
Which would make sense.
Movies. Yeah.
Because that's literally what she's living.
And she was always waiting for Prince Charming to rescue her and all that. So yes, for sure. And so while she's on there, of course, she's going to get curious because you also got to think about she's never had a boyfriend. She's probably interested in that. I know there's another show on Hulu. It's called The Act. It was more of a drama realization of it.
Okay.
It was really well done. The cast was superb. They killed it with the set design, with directing, all that. Everything was amazing. 10 out of 10. In there, they end up showing a scene that they created about Gypsy wanting to, like, she was seeing other people, other kids that pass by, teens in relationships, and she also wanted that, which valid because of course you're a kid, you've got your hormones.
You want to experience the same thing other kids are.
She's been locked up for since she was a baby, so she really whatever. She ends up meeting someone who ends up changing the course of the rest of her life.
Cue Prince Charming.
I love you. You're so funny. By the time Gypsy turned 18, though publicly, technically around this time, she's being told that she's 14. She's being described as a 14-year-old. So she's 18. Her world started to kind of narrow into something a little bit odd. I'm going to just walk through it. Because day after day...
Take us through it.
Yeah, let me take you through it. Let me take you through it. Day after day, she started to... It was becoming a routine to her. You know, it's nighttime. Mom's going to go to bed. I'm going to go on the computer and I'm going to start doing whatever the hell I want. I'm going to chat to people. I'm going to have a secret life outside of this world. She had her own Facebook account, right? She started using like fake names or anime icons or fantasy themed usernames. So she's just kind of doing her own thing. And she joined chat rooms that had fan fiction groups and role play forums, especially ones that focus on cosplay, dark fantasy, and fairy tale characters. And that's where she ends up meeting Nicholas Godijon.
Cue Prince Charming.
Nicholas was a 23-year-old man from Big Bend, Wisconsin. My God. I know we did the Slender Man stabbings episode, but...
Cheesehead.
Big Bend, Wisconsin. He lived with his parents and had a history of mental illness, and was actually diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder.
Okay.
He also had a criminal record, though, because he'd once been arrested for watching explicit content in a McDonald's for hours, and he refused to leave. So, yes.
I did not know this.
Yes. Yes. Oh, man. That's rough. Yes.
That's rough.
But online, he was just Nick, not the guy who's jacking off at a McDonald's. this quiet, lonely guy who finds Gypsy, someone who... wants someone that she can talk to and listen.
Wants somebody that she can more or less escape.
Wants someone. Yes, yes, exactly. And someone who would admire him, maybe someone who would make him feel seen. And that's exactly what Gypsy had to offer. I think they were just, they needed
exactly what they were both looking for.
Looking for, exactly. And their relationship, no joke, escalated so fast because they began messaging constantly, especially sometimes for hours every night. Gypsy confided in him, told him that she was older than she actually appeared, and told him that she could walk, she could eat, and she could think clearly, that she didn't feel that she was seven. And Nick wasn't thrown away or put off by that whatsoever. And it's important to note, too, that at some point she actually bought a prepaid phone sneakily without her mom knowing. I think she went to the store or something and that's where she bought it.
Yeah, so she used to be able to easily buy phones. You remember?
Can you still do that now?
I don't think. Not as easy as you used to be. I remember you could walk into Walmart, Walgreens.
Where I have to check next time because I'm curious. That is a good question.
And they had like little phones that actually said, pay and go.
Yes, you could just
buy. It came in the box and you paid whatever the amount of the phone was, came with a little SIM card, and then you just uploaded.
Wow.
Or not uploaded, but you paid however much you wanted to pay for minutes.
We should check next time we go to one of the stores and see, because that's interesting. Yeah. I really am curious about that. They might have nixed that, but anyways, she bought it and they would text during the day, but not really. Obviously, she's always with her mom, but that's
she's
just another.
She's got to be sneaky.
Yeah, I wanted to throw that in there. And after they kept, their relationship starts rapidly moving forward quickly. Okay, they're messaging for hours every night at this point. And he actually introduced her to the concept of multiple personalities. Nick introduced Gypsy to literally his world of dark fantasy. He claimed to have multiple personalities, and he didn't just talk about them, he was trying to live them. Like, he says he's living them. There was Victor, the vampire who fed on blood and craved power. And then there was the bad side. That's what it was called. A persona who was violent, aggressive, and sexually dominant. Nick said each personality had its own desires and Gypsy encouraged them.
Oh.
Yes. But also, I got a note. She doesn't know anything about sex either.
Well, yeah, and she's innocent.
She goes from Disney princess and princesses
to
straight to 100 to BDSM. Let's fuck each other up. Like,
yeah.
That, yeah, so I just need to note that. In response to all this, Gypsy kind of created her own personas as well, because she's thinking we're cosplaying, we're role-playing, right? She also doesn't know that he has a mental disorder.
Yeah.
The most prominent of her personas was Ruby. It was a seductive, submissive alter ego that she created who lived to please Nick's violent side.
All right.
Ruby.
So he's already, what the hell is it called? Molding. He's already molding her to kind of fit his needs.
Well, yeah, and they both are, essentially, yeah. Because, like you said, they're both feeding
they're
off
feeding
each other.
Yes.
Jinx. Jinx, you owe me a foot rub.
Right.
Aw, thanks. You're so sweet. I love you.
You are feeling sick.
Yeah, I am feeling sick. You do it even if I'm not feeling sick.
True.
Silly. Yes, so exactly that, because she doesn't know anything either at this point.
Yeah. So it seems normal probably to her. And
exactly. She just thinks it might
be.
She
can't go fucking ask her mom.
Right.
Hey, is this normal? I'm talking
right.
to this guy.
And she can't really have friends, essentially, because
yeah.
what if, even if it wasn't secret, what if they did to,
yep.
it's just a whole thing, right? She's living pretty
yeah.
much with her captor. And their messages were laced with like fetish heavy role play. They were acting out stories of dominance and submission where Ruby, which is Gypsy, begged to be punished. And Nick described himself as this dark prince with the right to control her body and mind. They fantasized about rape, kidnapping, slave dynamics, and violent sexual rituals.
Jesus Christ.
That's what I mean. Disney princesses to...
To this?
To...
Holy
that's
fuck.
That's insane. I know. Now, she would even wear wigs... Because she never had hair. Her hair was
oh,
always
yes.
shaved. Her mom was always shaving her head, saying that it was because of the medicine.
The
or she
cancer
was sick,
and everything.
The cancer.
Yeah.
We should just do it now so you're not upset. Blah, 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 all that stuff. So she had a lot of wigs. And she would wear some of those wigs. There was one wig that she had. And I think it was a... I'm going to see if I can find the photo and show you guys as well. But there's a famous photo of her wearing a wig that she sends to him. And it's black and red. It's got like streaks of red in it or whatnot. But she would send him photos. They kind of send each other flirty photos.
Yeah.
Now, Gypsy later claimed that it was all part of the role play, that she didn't truly want anything to go any further. But in those messages, I'm going to note this right now, so remember this, it became harder and harder to kind of tell where the performance ends and reality, we're back to reality, right?
Okay.
So they're starting to blend.
Blend.
At this point, sooner than later, the conversation actually starts to shift from not just from punishing Gypsy, but to punishing her mother. Because before Gypsy and Nick ever met in person, their online messages created this kind of private world of twisted fantasies and like growing desperations. One of the texts that I saw, messages that I saw from an Oxygen article, it was Nick describing his Victor persona, framing it as this like sexual lure.
Mm-hmm.
He messaged her saying, "Hun, don't forget you got to deal with my evil side first before we have our fun."
Jesus
so
Christ.
These are the kind of messages that they're sending each other.
So Prince Charming is more like Hans from
he's dark,
Frozen.
Bruh, he's Dark Prince. This is...
Yeah, remember Hans?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, Hans, which was... Oh, from Frozen.
He was the one that was all...
He was
Prince Charming.
Evil.
But secretly, I'm here to take
yes.
your castle and everything from you.
Wow. That was very good. Very nice.
Thank you.
Exactly. But literally that. Just BDSM world. Fantasies. Dark fantasy world. They ended up making plans to meet in person. Now, how the hell is she going to do that?
Yeah. You have a mom that's 24/7
yeah,
watching you.
I can't wait to tell you, because I don't think you know this part. I don't think you do. All right. In 2015, Nick... takes a bus. This is their plan, right? Nick is going to take a bus. Oh my goodness. Take a bus from Wisconsin to Missouri. The plan was simple. Dee Dee and Gypsy were off to see Disney's Cinderella in the movie theaters, and that they're going to accidentally bump into each other while they're there. And that's how she'll introduce mom and Nick.
Nick. Huh.
Yes. And not that she's probably going to introduce him as her boyfriend.
Hey, this is the guy I've
right.
been texting behind your back for the last however many times.
She's like,
months.
My name is Ruby. No, but seriously. So
and this is Nick Victor.
Nick Victor, exactly. And bad side, middle name. But she's saying, that, you know, that was her plan. We're just going to bump into each other. She's going to, I don't know, you guys are going to strike up a conversation. She's going to love you. Then I'm going to be able to see you.
She's
and
like,
then,
it'll just be so nonchalant.
Yeah, it'll be super chill. Like, she's going to, and we're going to be together forever. Again, she's literally... thinking Disney World princess of. I don't think she's thinking this through the way that you would think.
Well, I was
going to
say, doesn't she also because of the limited amount of real life experience she has, she doesn't have a lot of the critical thinking that the typical person that's experienced life and seen all this is going to understand. This is how this is probably going to play out.
Here's
what could happen.
Exactly so. Because at the movie theater, Nick shows up, right? And he shows up with a red rose. He's also dressed like a Prince Charming. So he's got kind of like a suit. That's the other thing I forgot. It's because I'll mention it here, but he's dressed like a Prince Charming. She's off to go see the new Cinderella movie. So she's dressed as Cinderella.
Okay.
So she was thinking, oh, like a Prince Charming, you know, I'm in my Cinderella outfit and the Prince Charming thing, right? But when they did bump into each other, the moment was completely off. Dee Dee did not like him whatsoever. And he made her feel super uncomfortable. It's not like they really talked. They just bumped into each other.
Yeah.
But just based off of that, she didn't like it. She kept her distance. She pulled away further as best she could. She would pull Gypsy closer. And she kind of brushed off the interaction in itself, which makes sense because he's the single man at the movies dressed up in
a Prince Charming outfit.
Well, it was a suit. I think it was a suit and tie kind of thing. Suit and tie. Okay. Yeah, but same thing. Yeah. So dressed in like a suit and tie, carrying a rose at the movie theater by himself to watch Cinderella. That's kind of odd, right?
It's fucking weird.
It's a little weird, especially if he's by himself.
Yeah.
And he kept trying to cross paths with her.
So, I mean, that comes off as stalking.
Right, like something's up. And obviously, Dee Dee doesn't know what's going on behind the scenes. She just, you know.
So she's going to...
Right.
She's already super protective of Gypsy.
Right.
This is going to put her 10 times more on edge.
I know, for real. And she's already spotting him. Like, she's like, oh, kind of warning Gypsy, like, stay away from him. He's kind of creepy. That's weird. That's really strange. Now, what Dee Dee doesn't know, I mean, she doesn't know a lot right now, but what she doesn't know is that just a few minutes later from that interaction, they're getting their stuff. They're heading to the movie theater, to the room. Gypsy and Nick are actually going to sneak off to the bathroom and have sex.
Oh.
Yeah.
At the theater.
Yep. Because Gypsy ends up sneaking away from her seat, saying that she has to use the bathroom or something. And her mom's like, oh, I'll go with you, I'm sure. And she's like, nah, you know, I go by myself. Don't worry about it. I can do this. I'll be right back. Pretty much leaving Dee Dee in the movie theater, and then ends up meeting Nick in the bathroom, in the theater bathroom. If I'm not wrong, it might be the family bathroom or something. Yeah. I don't know if it was the public one, but and there for the first time in real life, they had sex. It was quick.
Damn.
I mean, if you think about it, it was like,
yeah.
And in the shows, if you watch it and the way they portray it, it's exactly how I would think it was going to happen, because she's only got a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Barely even because.
Yeah.
She
can't be gone too long or her mom's going to come looking.
Dee Dee's going to come looking for her. Exactly. And following that encounter with her, when they returned, when she returned back to the seat, to the theater, as if nothing happened, he also did. I think he did. I'm not sure he did, but I know there's different accounts. He was like,
you know what? This is actually a pretty damn good movie.
Yeah, there's different accounts that he did watch it or he didn't. Nothing's really concrete on that. But regardless, this is a situation we're in now.
Yeah.
For Gypsy, if you think about it, now this is another tally of secrets kept because, and it's, I mean, as much as she's probably super nervous about and scared about what could happen, I think the thrill is more exciting than anything she's experienced in a long time.
She's literally been doing everything her mom has ever told her.
And she's
so
being,
of course, the minute she gets an ounce of, I can try to be free.
Right.
You know?
Right. And at this point, I feel... I wouldn't even consider this teenage rebellion or anything because she just has never had a life. Yeah. So it's hard to even
pivot to that. It's her trying to experience life.
Right. And she's being pretty much forced into all these medical procedures and all that. Now, JK, guys, I know I said I wouldn't do a part two and I'm so meanie bobinis, but it's going to have to be a two-parter.
One, there's a lot of this story to unpack. But two, my wifey is not doing well.
Yeah, I feel so sick. My voice, I'm sick.
She's sounding like Miley Cyrus already.
I know, I really am. We're like...
Little horsey.
Yeah, a little horsey. Me. Yes, so I'm so sorry, guys. Please forgive me. Don't be mad at me. Stay tuned for next week. We will get you part two, okay? Thank you for joining us today on Macabre Mondays. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you know more about today's episode or caught a detail we might have missed, let us know.
Again, I hated that I'm bringing you guys through another part two, but that doesn't mean I don't want to hear your stories. So if you have a story that's strange, sinister, or downright spooky, doesn't matter how small you think it might be, send it our way. Email us at macabremondayspodcast@gmail.com or head over to macabremondays.com to submit your story. Yours might just be featured in an upcoming listener episode.
Follow us on social media by searching Macabre Mondays for photos of today's episode, updates, and a little extra spooky fun. Please come back next week for a part two. We'll see you next Monday for another sinister, strange, and spooky episode. Stay tuned. More mystery is just around the corner. But until then, stay curious and stay safe. Love you guys.
Peace up, bait down.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.